On behalf of my family, I would like to thank everyone for coming today in honor of my father. When one thinks of a father, one thinks usually of a provider of food and shelter in the traditional sense. For me, my father was also the one who gave me the tools for self-confidence and the tools to live life to its fullest, encouraging me to take risks and supporting me totally when I did so. He said, "You'll never be sorry you tried." He always used to say, "Is this something you want to do?" And if the answer was yes, he would say, "Then go find out how to do it, and I will help you get there. But if you want to bad enough, you will do it probably all on your own." My father thought himself to be the disciplinarian in the family, but in reality, he was very easygoing. He would set a boundary with the thought that we would not abuse the trust and told us so. And we didn't abuse the trust because we knew that abusing that trust would bring consequences. For him, like the rest of his family, the glass was always half full. He was the king of making lemonade from lemons. At times, things would seem bad to me or to us in the family, but he never quite saw it that way. He would always step back and say, "Well, what about thinking about it this way?" Or he would point out the good that was going to come from this particularly bad situation. While frustrating at times, it was a wonderful way to grow up. Bad moods and negative attitudes were simply not tolerated in our house. This was a man who, even toward the end of his life, never complained. His comment was always, "Why complain? It doesn't help, and it's a waste of time and energy." He loved life and loved being around people, and that's why working at the Pike Place Market was the perfect place for him. He loved that people knew him, that they knew his name, and would come back to see him time after time. With my father, what you saw was what you got. What you got was no games, no pretenses, and no judgment. Just a couple of jokes and an attempt at connection. I couldn't begin to count the number of strangers he brought home to dinner. He loved to travel and did quite a bit both with my mother, Tilly, and with Mary, always coming home with great stories, and it was wonderful to hear his excitement when he told us about his experiences upon his return. At his 90th birthday, I shared some thoughts about my father that one might not ordinarily know about him, and I would like to share a couple of those with you today. Maybe as a result of living in a house with all women, my father, until his stroke recently, never forgot a birthday, a Purim, a Mother's Day, an anniversary, or a Valentine's Day. Always a card, sometimes money, sometimes flowers, but always something to let you know that he didn't forget. Also, when I was away at school, I received a letter from my father 2 to 3 times a week. Now, this was before the age of email or cell phones, and I didn't have a phone where I lived. So letters were the only method of keeping in touch. His handwriting was the only handwriting that my doorman recognized, because there were so many letters that came so often. I would come in from school, and the doorman would say, "You have a letter from your father today." It was 2 to 3 times a week, like clockwork. It was amazing then, even to me. Another thing about my father was he was an encyclopedia guy. If anything ever came up that we questioned or didn't know, he would always say, "Go get the encyclopedia, let's look it up." When we were very young, in the 50s, my father had a grocery store at Ballard's. And in those days, occasionally grocery stores ran special promotions. Well, one year, the promotion was encyclopedias. Like 99 cents, and for over a period of time, every week there'd be a new encyclopedia. So we had those encyclopedias, and not the best of encyclopedias, but for some reason, we didn't have a J or a K. We missed them. So many a time at the dinner table, something would come up, and we'd look down, hoping that he didn't catch it, because it would mean getting up from the table, researching the answer. But during this promotion, as I said, we didn't have a J and a K, which I think was probably only one vote. But we used to tease my father for years that it was a good thing that Kennedy and Johnson were the tickers. In the end, he did purchase the World Book, and we finally had our JK, but I was almost out of the house by then. As a young adult and into adulthood, I spoke to my father almost every day, if not every day. conversations were typically short. Hello, how are you, and do you need anything? And then later on, he would say, and how are the boys? Just touching base and offering support. While he suffered great losses in his life, the loss of my mother and my sister, he moved on in his life on to have a long and happy marriage with Mary. My father, unlike most people, enjoyed two long and happy marriages. Difficult for a lot of people to say. He lived to see his grandchildren grow to be wonderful human beings and gained much enjoyment from his grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well. He was able to accept others' passing, believing that it was your time to go, it was your time, and that was true for himself as well. At his last appointment with Dr. Sittman, he told him he knew he was going home for the end of his race. If he were here now, he would be confident that this was his time. Today we're here to celebrate the long, rich, and happy life of my father. A couple of thank yous to his doctor, Dr. Alex Sittman, who cared for my father for many years and helped and supported not only my father, but Mary and I at the end of his life. To two of my father's caregivers, Esmeralda and Che, while I didn't have a long time with them, I feel their care and compassion, the care and compassion that they showed my father, improved greatly the quality of his life up until the end, and I'm grateful to them for that. Again, I thank you all for being here with me.